Statistics show that housing in London remains expensive for its residents as high demand continues to outstrip limited housing supply. This April, the Office of National Statistics made a report showing that the average cost of rent in the English capital was £2,243 last month, making it the location with the highest rent in England. I spoke with University of Greenwich student Josh Murhead, who told me his experience with finding accommodation.
I ended up applying late, and it was ridiculously hard to find an accommodation that actually took me in. And I think it's because we're in Central, so it's like there's so many people trying to get in at the same time. But not only that, but it's also extremely expensive. Like, even with my entire maintenance loan, I'm pretty sure it didn't cover the price of a single dorm.
With most Londoners coping with the burden of living costs, workers like Bisman Aki from nonprofit organizations like Generation Rent are there to provide help and support to tenants in London.
My name is Bisma and I am the communications officer at Generation Rent. So Generation Rent are an advocacy and campaigning group that makes sure that private tenants' voices are heard, both in legislation and in the media, in government circles, in powerful circles, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we want out of our campaign work is to make sure that the housing system gives renters, private renters, safe, secure, and affordable homes. So that goes for everyone.
London Assembly's Housing Committee conducted an investigation back in 2023, which revealed young Londoners were less likely to own a home compared to their peers living outside the city, as well as senior Londoners. The recent ONS report also finds private renting to be the most expensive in the housing sectors, with private renters spending higher income on housing costs.
The way that the renting system is now, it's very expensive to rent. It's obviously very hard to even find a home to rent in your area that's affordable for you. And also, you know, there's no regulation around a landlord raising the rent, a landlord not doing the repairs that they need to do into your home. People are getting sick from this. You know, obviously Awab Ishak was a boy that died in housing association housing, but there are many cases like that in private homes where people have been complaining to their landlord for years about repairs that have not been done. So our work so far has brought us a lot of victories, both us and private tenants. So along with the Renters Reform Coalition, we've managed to lobby the government to ban Section 21 no-fault evictions, unfair Section 21 no-fault evictions, which basically at this moment means that your landlord can kick you out for no reason whatsoever. So now that legislation is coming in, hopefully by the end of spring, early summer, it means that your landlord will have to give a reason for kicking you out. They're also extending notice periods, which is something that we campaigned for. So the government are now increasing it to 4 months instead of six. And they are trying to regulate the quality of our homes more. That means bringing in better energy efficiency into our homes so that we're not spending so much on energy bills, and also making sure that mold and damp is you know, you as a tenant are able to complain about it, and you have to have your voice heard.
Bisma and her team strive to make the living situation in London manageable and fair for its residents. To cope with high housing costs, Londoners opt for more unconventional forms of housing known as property guardianships. Choosing to be a property guardian could sometimes mean living in buildings that are susceptible to mold, pests,
or a leak, like my ceiling was leaking and my bathroom green one.
I spoke with documentary filmmaker and director Dan Faber to hear more about his experiences living as a property guardian in London.
I lived in property guardianships for 2 years, about between, when was it, 2016 and 2018, 2019, sometime around then. And the first one was in Aldgate in central London, in an old bank. The second one was in Farringdon, in what used to be like a craft space for artists. And the third one was in Bethnal Green, in the annex of a sports hall for a school.
Dan also details the issues he faced living as a young guardian in his 20s.
For instance, with that, the one in Aldgate in the bank, there were 96 of us, I think, in the building, and then suddenly we got this 1 month notice, and everyone wanted to stay in central London because of work, because we all worked in central London, and they had one other building in Farringdon which had space for like 23, and so they invited everyone to view this space, and they knew everyone was just going to go for it, whatever it was, so they just arranged a time for everyone to arrive, and everyone kind of clumped around this building in Farringdon, and then ended up, they opened the doors at one point, and there was just a rule that you have to stand in a room, say you want it, pay a £100 deposit on the spot, and then the room's yours. And it was just like absolute carnage. Like people just like elbows flying, like people running up the stairs, like really crazy. It was quite a damning indictment of like housing in London, I thought. And by luck, I actually failed to get my elbows out properly, but I did manage to get a room there after some talking to the company. And so that's where I moved.
Not far off from Dan's former residence in Farringdon, I scheduled a meeting with law professor Dean Taylor to get a wider context about guardianship.
So we're currently sat outside the William the Fourth pub on Shepherdess Walk, which is just off Old Street. William the Fourth pub is, as I say, it's a public house, and there's traffic going by. It's a lovely day in March.
But when we both arrived, we discovered the property guardianship home returned to its original purpose of serving beer and hosting gatherings.
I must confess some surprise that agreeing to meet outside here, this was a location that was the subject of a planning inspectorate decision concerning the legal regulation of property guardianship. And now it's once again reopened as a pub. It was formerly used to house property guardians.
Returning to a pub from a property guardianship site is a result of the short-lasting nature of guardianship license agreements.
You could get kicked out with 1 month's notice at any time, and then you have to scramble to find another one, ideally in the same area, and that could be really hectic experience.
The informal, unconventional nature of property guardianship saw this property being used to house people temporarily. The planning inspectorate were concerned that this change of use was embarked upon without the formal process of planning.
So, what exactly is property guardianship?
So, property guardianship involves often buildings or land that is no longer being used for the purposes for which it was built.
The way I used to explain it was like monetized squatting, to be honest.
So, typically commercial premises which are now lying empty and they are pending redevelopment. So, whatever that redevelopment looks like, whether it's going to be knocked down and turned into fancy, very expensive accommodation here in London, there is that interim phase where the land is lying empty. And if it's lying empty, there is a risk, of course, that vandals may come onto the premises. There is a risk that squatters may come onto the premises.
People would have just taken up residence in buildings, and they had some rights.
And certainly, if squatters come onto the premises, it becomes harder to remove them. You're often looking at embarking upon court proceedings to obtain repossession of the property.
But I think squatters' rights have been kind of pulled back, and now these companies have come into society, I guess.
So, what has been set up as a sort of protection against that is that the proprietor engages a company, and the company says, we'll manage the property, the empty property for you.
The guardianship company comes in and puts in a very basic shower, a very basic kitchen with like some, like a plug-in oven, into these properties which are meant to just be for commercial use, not really residential.
And thereby, by having that presence, that physical presence on the property, it deters squatters, vandals, but it also provides for a cheaper form of accommodation compared to private renting, with house prices being punitively expensive as well.
So a lot of people living there were living there because they needed space and they needed to be central, and they didn't have the money to have, like, you know, a penthouse in Soho or whatever it is.
But the interesting thing is, yes, there are all these benefits, but where does the law sit with all of this? And over the recent years, there have been a number of decisions where this interim form of property use is not something that escapes the eyes of the law.
Besides the issues that Dan experienced, another prominent issue with property guardianships is the fact that guardians are not legally defined as tenants.
They're basically a type of tenancy, but they're not really defined as a tenancy.
So within property law, within English property law, we have this distinction between leases and licenses. If you are a lessee, then that confers greater levels of protection upon you as an occupier than does a licensee.
Because they are not legally defined as tenants, this means that property guardianship companies can take advantage of their licensees.
One of the interesting things is that there's a, on that very question, whether they have a lease or a license, the decisions have kind of fluctuated in the level of protection that will be available. And the latest on that question was that the purpose of this sort of arrangement is that it's very short-lived, very temporary. So therefore, a license reflects that purpose. And so guardians have been recognised as being licensees rather than tenants. This means for them that there is a shorter notice period.
It also means that property guardians, like Dan used to be, aren't under the same legal protection that's promised to other tenants.
So with property guardianships, unfortunately, there isn't really much wiggle room around that. So because the legal, like, because it is a 1 month notice that you can get, it means that your landlord can just kick you out with 1 month. Again, this is not a private tenancy where there's a bit more structure around your rights. It is just sort of a free for all, given that you're not actually a private tenant. You are just looking after someone else's property. So for that, you know, there's really not much that we can do apart from recommend a few places that can help. The first, and I think the biggest place that a guardian can go is a property guardian providers association. So they're not a government run organization, just to be clear. And even then, you know, a lot of property guardianship companies are not part of it, but they do offer advice and maybe redress over a few issues that you may be facing. Some of the other issues that property guardians may face is also their deposit protection. Obviously, that does not have to be protected, but if there's serious health concerns within the property you're living in, you can report that to your local council.
The UK government officially states on its website that it does not encourage the use of property guardianships as a form of housing. Currently, the lack of regulation means that property guardians are recommended to look for more sustainable living options. As for Dan, he has since left property guardianship and now lives in a more conventional living arrangement. He recalls meeting one of his close friends there.
I'm now engaged. He's got a kid, and we're both living in much more normal, like, living situations. And so we met at this kind of transitional moment in our lives a little bit, but now we look back from more kind of a traditional place. And something about being in that environment means that you're quite open, I guess, and you meet lots of interest. You have to get on with whatever the 50 people you're sharing the building with. So I think it's good for you as a person, probably, to be living like that a little bit. Yeah, so those are the good memories I have.